My new book, Facts That Aren't True, is out now. Don't forget about my other book, Rational Answers to Stupid Questions.
I start off with the premise that this world does not, or existence does not create itself, right? So, and for that, I would say there's only three plausible explanations, right? We either live in the world where a God created everything and left some rules for us, or religion for us, or we live in a world where God created everything and just walked away, left nothing. Or we live in a world where nobody created it. If you would like to add to that, I would love to hear it. But in the last...
I would just recouch the last one as we live in an uncreated universe, which doesn't mean it created itself. It means it's uncreated.
Correct. So with the last scenario, and I try to use, I don't appeal to special knowledge, so to speak, but I try to appeal to reasoning and what we know. What we know and what we have evidence for is that this world did not always exist.
Wrong.
Yeah. Well, by world, do you mean universe?
This universe, yeah.
Right. I assume that's what he meant. What's the evidence that everything we know to exist once didn't exist?
What's the evidence?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm certain you guys have heard about the Big Bang Theory. And I mean, that seems to be a consensus, correct?
Yeah, the Big Bang doesn't say that there was nothing before the expansion.
Yeah, well, these things, for example, the particles that you're talking about, or that's, I think that's what Lawrence Krauss would prefer. He defines nothing as a sea of particles.
Yeah, actually, I'm glad you brought that up. Chapter 9 in his book, Something from Nothing, he explains that nothing doesn't really mean nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a clickbaity title.
I mean, that's not like...
It is, yeah. Right, yeah, so what would be the evidence that there was absolutely nothing before the Big Bang? Because science teaches us that matter and energy can't be created or destroyed.
True. I mean, that's from what we would say, argue from what we know of this reality, of the rules in our universe. We can't say that it applies to outside.
Do we have the tools to investigate an alternative reality?
We do not. We do not.
Well, but we do based on what we know then from this reality is that matter can't be created or destroyed, neither energy. It just transforms, takes new shapes.
Fair enough. So, but you do believe that perhaps the Big Bang is a plausible likelihood?
I think the expansion is a pretty much guarantee, but I also believe in the cyclical universe. I think we're in an infinite cycle of expansions and contractions.
Fair enough. I was doing that so we could have some common ground. And then, so from what you believe then, that means that this Earth once did not exist.
Earth, yeah.
The particles that make up our Earth existed, but the formation, the exact formation of those particles that we call Earth, had a starting point.
Good. So we agree on that as well. So if this Earth did not exist, that means that life on this Earth did not exist. Mm-hmm. And I think this is where the disconnect will fall between our views. From what I know of, the little I know of biology and chemistry, it dictates that this life cannot form. These molecules don't put themselves together.
Science doesn't say that at all. It says the opposite of that.
For example, they kind of do. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, though.
So when I say this, I don't have the technical expertise. So I go to experts who would talk about these things. I look for evidence. I've heard of the origin of life field of research. And I've heard of the abiogenesis hypothesis. Now, for any of these hypotheses to be
just
possible,
not to waste any time, it doesn't matter what you think about abiogenesis. Abiogenesis has nothing to do with her and that God created anything.
Yes, I think
completely unrelated. I know a lot of atheists that don't believe in abiogenesis, so it's not really an issue.
How so?
Why?
If there is no God, right, you have to demonstrate that this reality is able to assemble itself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So how do you explain this reality assembling itself?
Abiogenesis is a specific process that we describe in science. Like, we named it, but there's alternative theories that, I mean, you might call it abiogenesis, but it differs a little bit from what we would describe as abiogenesis. What I'm suggesting is that there's a litany of possible naturalistic explanations. You would need some sort of an argument to claim that you knew how it happened, right? So, like, if I said, well, abiogenesis is the answer, we would need some kind of evidence to suggest that. And if you said, no, God is the answer, you would need some kind of evidence to say that that was how it was. But you can't say that God is the answer just because you don't believe in the abiogenesis theory.
Fair enough, fair enough. But I think that we should be reasonable, right?
I agree. And we see, like, the building blocks of life self-assembling even in outer space. On meteors, we're getting amino acids forming. I mean, it's not something that's unheard of.
Yeah, so I wouldn't say you have to go out of outer space. We live on this Earth. We have amino acids forming on this Earth. Mm-hmm. So I don't need to invoke outer space. I would say right here on Earth, we see amino acids. But the thing is, we've never seen life organizing. That's, again, that, for me, that's
What do you think life is?
Yeah.
It's not a problem at all.
Precisely. We never see life organizing except from other living things. But we know that living things never exist.
So again, what do you think life is?
I mean, you mean the functions of living things?
What does it mean to be alive?
Well, biologists would put certain functions what living things do. For example,
that's not what something is, though. If I ask you what a car is and you say cargo vroom, that's not what a car is. And this is a disconnect I always have with people when they're trying to tell me what life is or that abiogenesis is impossible. They just tell me what life does and not what life is.
Yeah. So if you're going to try to invoke a technicality for let's not get caught up in the definitions then.
No, I promise you I'm not being pedantic about this. They're just literally making a category error here.
How is it a category error?
For the same reason that if I asked you what a car is and you say cargo vroom, that's not what a car is. And life, the characteristics of life are not what life is, because there are things that do what life does, or have a lot of overlap with them, but they're not life. Now, if we want to be like super reductionist with regard to life, we would say that life at the fundamental level is literally just chemistry. When a living thing, whether it's single-celled or multi-celled, the things you're talking about that it does is literally just non-living chemistry within the cell or non-living molecules within the cell doing chemistry. And then what I would say is from that, this emergence of what we call life from the system emerges from that. So it's not like in your cells, you have these reactions like the Krebs cycle. That's how every single living thing takes in molecules and makes usable energy out of them. Nobody would say that that's what life is, but it's a necessary component of living things or of living systems. Do you follow what I'm saying here?
Yes. So you've reduced life to just chemistry? Is that your definition? Life is just chemistry? So I would say
it comes from it. Maybe saying that it's exactly the same thing could be different, like in the sense that my consciousness is not literally my brain, but I think that it comes only from it. It emerges from it. Or like a more simple example was, is traffic cars? No, but the only explanation for what traffic is going to come from cars and what they do.
So like we could talk about the functions of living things, right? Living things, it depends on what species, what exactly it is. They may function differently, but there are certain characteristics that living things have, and the biologists would attribute to living things. Now, the chemistry in living things is different from the chemistry outside of living things. For example, you and the guy...
Not exactly.
How is it different?
Let me explain to you.
Fundamentally, every single living thing, they share certain fundamental things that are universal in every single living organism.
Yeah. So the chemistry in living things is very specific, right? If you, for example, were to mix a bunch of chemicals and just put them together, yeah, in a chemistry lab, just put them together in a test tube or in a
yeah, it wouldn't form a living thing
in a flask. No, I'm just saying chemistry. Just put together some samples of some molecules. Put them in a flask. Just leave them there. It's different from if that flask is your stomach. The biology have the ability to sift through that stuff and make use of it and discard whatever it doesn't use. Right.
So the chemistry. But it's nothing other than chemistry at the end of the day.
Fair enough. Correct. But you wouldn't just say a person is just a flask, right? A living thing is just like a flask, right?
I have some different ideas on like theory of mind and personhood and all of that. Like I think a person is a mind occupying an organism. That's what I think a person is. But I think that minds and brains are at the same time basically the same thing.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to get into the mind. I'm talking specifically about the fact that living things exist. Mm-hmm. We have all the evidence that we have that we know of living things. I'm not saying that we won't learn anything else. I'm saying that the more we learn about living things, the more gargantuan, insurmountable this feat seems to be.
That well, I disagree. By
themselves. A little bit, but just follow the logic here with me. Life, living things come from living things. That's essentially what you're saying. Yes. But how is it that, like, we could ask, how do living things do that? Or what is life in the first place? It's reducible to mere physical chemistry. So what's the problem? Let's compare two different leaps of logic. Some sort of chemistry or series of chemical systems changing over time produced the first living things, or some magic occurred and then living things were allowed to exist. One of those is an extraordinarily inappropriate leap of logic, whereas the other one's completely consistent.
Right. Plus, like, every time we learn how something in our universe works, it's never because God makes it work. It's always a naturalistic phenomenon.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. So I just go by based on reason and the evidence, right? So if you were to say, for example, like living things are one of the most advanced structures in nature, I would say that computers are perhaps one of the more advanced things that human beings have made. I would say something like a fork or a spoon is one of the simplest things we've made. Yes? Would you agree with that? A fork or a spoon?
Yeah, not too complicated.
So there's nothing we've made that would be as technical or as advanced as a living thing. But what I will do is I will, for the sake of this argument, I will compare a living thing, a bacteria, which is far more advanced. It's the simplest bacteria is far more advanced than our most sophisticated computers, right? So I will take that and I will compare it, not to the most sophisticated computer, but to a spoon, the simplest thing that we've made. Now, for me, reason, I use reason to come to these conclusions. Right.
How long did it take humans to design a computer?
No, I will go with the spoon.
Maybe about three decades before the technology was capable of getting there.
I'll go with the spoon.
How many years did it take for intelligence on Earth to develop?
No, I'm not. It's not about the sophistication of living things. I'm going with the spoon, the simplest thing. Now, for us to say that nature could do this, we have to describe a natural phenomenon that could produce a spoon, not just describe it. We can't just talk about, oh, well, the spoon is just, because the spoon
have
is
you
really just physics.
Never seen a tree?
Wait, the spoon is just basic physics, right?
Have you ever seen a tree?
I've seen a lot of trees.
You ever see a tree fork?
No, I mean the fork that we eat with,
why would we expect that specific thing, something that doesn't occur in nature, to occur in nature?
What's that?
Why would we expect something that doesn't occur in nature to occur in nature?
Precisely. You see, this is exactly what I'm trying to get at. We never see living things occur in nature.
But we never see miracles happen either. I don't necessarily agree with the first thing you said.
Let's not invoke the supernatural that we can't witness.
But that is your invocation. That is the you're saying that this is a necessary condition for life, because no other because life cannot come from any sort of physical process. We don't see there is no miracle at any level of life that's ever been found or described or anything like that. So again, kind of going back to what I was saying, if life is reducible to completely physical, unmiraculous conditions and processes, then why do we need to make the leap that its origin would be fundamentally different than its operation and be this, well, I don't want to say too much, but why would that be?
Well, I don't think that is necessary. Again, we're going based on the evidence that we have. What evidence?
But we don't have evidence of miracles. So
there's no evidence
for
God.
Throw that one out.
No. What I'm saying is this, right?
So busy. This is why I started the conversation by saying it doesn't matter what you believe about abiogenesis. In order to believe in a God, you still need some evidence that would merit a belief in a God. At least with abiogenesis, we've actually done studies that can conclude that it seems like it's a likely phenomenon. In fact, we've created synthetic living cells just by combining the right chemistry together. So like we know that it is possible. Just because we haven't observed it spontaneously happening doesn't mean that it can't happen. But on the God hypothesis, there's zero evidence for the God hypothesis. Your God, least of all. I certainly don't think there's any evidence for a God that would send a prophet to diddle a little 9-year-old.
All right. So I try to be so. Follow me here, right? So when you said about the synthetic living things in abiogenesis, I'm not sure how much you looked into this, but I'm certain what you're saying is not what it seems to be. Right.
Maybe you should take it up with Chapel Hill University.
One second. So Dr. Craig Venter, for example, he's a geneticist. He made this synthetic living cell, and I think he's the only one that I've heard of who made a living cell. So, but he
didn't. Well, you're wrong.
Okay, fair enough. So what he did was he took parts of already living cells, and that's what he combined. So he just made a hybrid of, you know, it's like saying you invented the car by simply swapping engines with two vehicles. You really didn't invent the car. You might have made a different combination, but you didn't invent the car.
And life is just a combination of chemistry.
He took the non-living components, and then he arranged them in an order
that we find them.
No. I'm talking about the Chapel Hill research. You forget whatever research you're referring to. They took non-living components and combined them in a way which created synthetic life, meaning it was consuming from the environment and reproducing.
Really? What's the name of this experiment?
April 2024 is the publication by UNC. It's called the UNC Chapel Hill Researches. Researchers create artificial cells that act like living cells.
Okay, I'll look into this.
We're skirting around all of this like biology and secular science kind of stuff. But if you're trying to sell us that a God by miraculous means is necessary for life, for us to even entertain that as a possibility, we need evidence that miraculous things occur, that magic is real, that the supernatural realm exists, or anything like that. So if we don't have any of that, then like we at least have evidence of chemistry and biochemistry and the way that life operates, and a very clear and unambiguous line of evidence that shows that life has naturally progressed from simple to complex forms. Those things are known. This other quantity is completely unknown unless you have evidence. And sitting here saying, well, you guys don't know how blank happened, is not evidence that your explanation is true.
Correct, but at least it's evidence that points to a God.
It's not. No, but it's not. You literally said, Yeah, you're right. It's not evidence, but it's evidence of God. That's what
it's
I said.
God of the gaps.
It's
all you're doing is a God of the gaps. It's a, you're saying, here's something I can't explain. Let me put God into it. But what's the evidence that the God is responsible for it?
No, well, when I would think there's a principle here that when the combined forces, if the combined properties of what you're witnessing cannot account for what you're witnessing, then you must invoke something else.
That's an argument from ignorance.
I wish I could finish my point, though.
But why would you invoke a God? What's the reason why we would invoke a God other than another naturalistic phenomenon?
I would love to explain that, but you... So the reason I invoke a God for this is because, again, on all the scientific knowledge we have, there is no evidence that these living things could put themselves together. This type of chemistry...
Again, Busy.
What evidence that your God did it do you have?
Busy, our question... Busy, stop talking. We're not asking you what evidence is against the naturalistic hypothesis that we're positing. We're asking, what is the evidence for your possibility of a God doing it? Which is why I started the conversation with, it doesn't matter what you think of our theory of abiogenesis is, you still need to provide an argument for why it came from a God. What is the evidence that a God did it, rather than just a life-granting unicorn in the universe that runs around granting life to polypeptides? Why? Give me the argument for God rather than the life-granting unicorn.
All right. So once you wade past this, right? This is just my logical process. So once I wade past the fact that these things cannot organize themselves, I say, well, that God is necessary. So if a God is necessary,
why? What? Give me the argument for why it has to be a God. Why? What's the argument for that? That's what I want to know. You're saying the only alternative to the current abiogenesis theory is a God. It's not. There's 100 alternative theories. I'm asking you for the evidence that God is the answer.
Fair enough. So I try to keep explaining that. I said that you have no evidence. We have no rule, no natural laws, no chemistry.
He doesn't understand the question.
But
it's
Busy,
okay.
You don't have that for your claim. So let's just flip this. Your God do it?
How did my God? So you don't have to know how something is done to know that somebody.
Oh, therefore, we have just proved that the life-granting unicorn grants life. We have just
praise
proven
unicorns.
It together.
Okay,
but freaking lasers.
Now, hold on. But so now.
Oh yeah, with lasers.
So now we've moved past this naturalistic worldview, right? That there is at least something else that is required.
The life granting unicorn is a naturalistic phenomenon.
The problem is we've graduated to nothing. Well, what we've done is we've graduated to all an infinite series of possible alternative explanations, which means we've arrived at nothing in particular.
All right.
This is like asking your girlfriend, where do you want to go for dinner? It's the same thing.
All right. So from your worldview, can the life-giving unicorn exist?
Yeah.
Of course.
How would this life unicorn exist?
It's the necessary condition. That's right. It's just a naturalistic part of the universe that is necessary for life.
And it came from this nothingness that that Lawrence Krauss described?
It came from quantum physics.
No, it's the nothingness that Lawrence Krauss described. For that, something brought that into being. Yes, do we know of any laws that natural laws that could bring that?
No, it's eternal, just like the universe.
So then, this being, yes, it came from that, from those particles.
No, it's eternal, just like the universe.
So the being was just the particles is the being, or it just exists? They coexist.
It's made out of particles. Yeah.
It's made out of the particles.
It's made out of the particles, but it's always existed. It's eternal.
All right. So now you're invoking a god, just a different god.
No, it's not a god.
Life-granting unicorn.
It's just a life-granting unicorn. It doesn't create human beings. It doesn't form planets. It doesn't bring suns into existence. The only thing it does is grants life.
All right. So I will juxtapose that, the life-granting unicorn, to the God that I believe in, Allah, right? So, and I'm appealing to reason.
That sounds blasphemous.
That's not going to be a good one. Planet, how many children has the life-granting unicorn diddled?
Less than one.
Right. So, well, there you go.
All right. So,
and I think the life-granting unicorn is egalitarian. He doesn't believe that women are only half as good as men when it comes to giving a testimony in court.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, this life-granting unicorn does a lot of things too, right? I mean, creates babies without arms and legs, right?
No, it doesn't do any of that. It doesn't create humans. It just grants life.
Yeah, it just literally does one thing.
It just grants life?
Yep.
So it doesn't organize the cells and stuff? It just like, ta-da, you have life?
No, he granted the original life to the original cell. Yeah. Actually, to be fair, it's obviously a female unicorn. Sorry, I got confused there.
Yeah.
Okay. But what I'm saying is this. Nobody believes in the unicorn, not even you guys, right?
Yeah, we do.
But if we're to, all right. But if we're
but
to
it, juxtapose but it's indistinguishable then. From whatever you believe in, at least, I mean, at least as far as the evidence we've constructed for it.
All right. So yeah. this life course.
So we have as much reason to believe in the life-granting unicorn as we do in Allah.